Welcome to Emotional Empowerment, a podcast for emotionally sensitive or struggling people who are open to learning how to use your emotions as a spiritual practice. Hi, I'm Michelle Bursell, and I've taught therapists, coaches, and people around the world how to use their negative feelings to heal their life, and in doing so, eliminated their struggle with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and more. Ready to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies? Then let's start your emotional empowerment journey right now. Hello, everyone. It's Michelle Bursell, and I want to welcome you to episode 13, What You Get Out of Being Mean to Yourself. Now, I hear you. You're saying, Michelle, what is this episode about? What do you mean? What do I get out of being mean to myself? I don't get anything out of it. I feel bad about myself. I get depressed. I get sad. Well, here's the deal. This episode is about really putting an end to being mean to yourself by understanding that you do get something out of being mean to yourself. And it's not just the experience of feeling bad. Whatever we do, even if it hurts us, we do it because it works for us on a subconscious level. And that's why today's episode is so powerful and why I honor you for tuning in and listening to an episode named What Do You Get Out of Being Mean to Yourself? Because so many people would be like, what? And just stop there. And this speaks to who you are, that you want to take this deeper. And this truly is the way to put an end to you being mean to you. You first have to understand why you really do it, what you get out of it, and then you can empower yourself to do things differently. So, just to be clear, what I'm talking about when I say you are being mean to yourself, it's those comments you say to yourself that you don't even notice half the time because it's part of those tapes that get played in your head. Those judgments you would never say towards anyone else but yourself, or the way you know exactly how to beat yourself up for the slightest mistake. Think about it for a moment. What is your ego's way to put you down? Just take that in, because you usually have a couple of go-to ways of being critical towards yourself. And this is not just for emotionally sensitive people or emotionally struggling people. This is everybody, that there are go-to ways that you will criticize yourself. And today you're going to understand why that is and what this is about. Now, the common ones I hear from my students and clients are things like, I'm so stupid. I'm so selfish. I'm so ugly. I'm so lazy. I'm so fat. I'm not a good person. I suck. I'm a loser. I'm such a jerk. What an idiot I am, or no one likes me. So any of these sound familiar? The truth is, you might not even be aware how much you are saying these types of things to yourself. When I was in my teens and 20s, all of those that I just listed were criticisms that I had going on in my head and really didn't realize it. It was just how I talked to myself. It was just the voice in my head. It was my norm. And so was being anxious and depressed with suicidal thoughts. And so if we think about it, is it any wonder that I was suicidal? My internal world was brutal. I was brutal towards myself and had no idea. My ego had no mercy. It would take any fragile or vulnerable part of myself and whip it to shreds. This is often the case with the suicidal clients that I work with, where they've tried traditional modalities and nothing works. It's first really seeing why they would get to this point. And there's a reason. And when our internal world is so hurtful, it makes us hopeless. Now, again, this isn't just for those really struggling. A lot of my students that come to become emotional empowerment coaches feel good. They're like, you know, feeling like they've already gone through a transformation. And they are shocked when they learn the empowered approach to their negative feelings and lift the veil to see the inner cruelty they've been putting up with. Again, had no idea. How you know is because you will experience negative feelings, and it tends to show up in the area that you're struggling with changing, that you felt challenged around. So for my students, this diminishing talk isn't happening all the time. It's just that area, whether it's their health, their wealth, their love life, their purpose. Their negative emotions are a mirror to what's really going on inside themselves, despite the personal growth they've already experienced. So this is exactly where they begin, and I invite you to begin. So if you are stuck, or if something isn't how you would like it to be, look for your negative feelings around it. And in those negative feelings, that disempowered version will be the negative self-talk. So now that we are shedding some light on the ways you can be critical towards yourself, let's go over 3 points for today's episode. First, the common advice that you get. Second, why we are really mean to ourselves. And then what to do instead. Okay, those are the 3 points we're going to cover today. First, the common advice is when you are mean to yourself, don't do that, right? Don't be mean to yourself. Lift yourself up instead. Now, I totally agree with this, right? Like, yes, don't be mean to yourself. But if it's still happening, despite yourself telling yourself not to be mean to yourself, you want to understand what you get out of doing it. So the common advice, there's nothing wrong with it. I tell it to my children, you know, don't be mean to yourself. And you want to pick yourself up and boost yourself up, because life experiences can make you feel rejected. So bring yourself up instead. At the same time, so that's like one level of understanding things. And then there's another level where I'm inviting you to go today. And that is why we really do this. Okay. So here's what we all get out of being critical to ourselves. There's 3 main reasons, and they kind of mesh together, but I'm going to segment them so you can really understand them. Number one, the most common reason why we are being mean to ourselves is that it allows you to avoid experiencing rejection. If you put yourself down, that put down version of you will stay down. And when you stay down, you won't take risks. And when you don't take risks, you avoid rejection. You get to hide. So the more you stay down, the more you get to hide. And that feels safe to your ego. And in the short term, it is safer. However, you will never create the change your heart is calling you to do. You can't, because you're trying to avoid rejection. And our heart is always calling us to step into more of our truth, which means we've got to be able to face the rejection and have it mean nothing about ourselves so that we can claim more of the truth of who we are. That's how it works. So by putting ourselves down, it's like we get to reject ourselves first so no one can do it to us, right? Which leads me to point number 2. It's easier. It's easier to reject yourself first, to say things, mean things to yourself, be critical of yourself, because then you don't have to challenge yourself. Then you don't have to grow. So that's what this whole spiritual lens to our emotions is about. We've got a negative emotion. It's signaling to us we're in a disempowered state so that we can recognize the disempowerment and choose empowerment instead. This disempowerment of when we are mean to ourselves is easier than the courage it takes to be in the arena, to step into your truth, to live life fully. And the third reason why you are being mean to yourself is it keeps things the same. Now, when my clients and students hear this, that deep down, they want to keep things the same. They want to slap me across the face because they are like, Michelle, I'm coming to you because I don't want things the same. And I understand that, right? There's a part of you, consciously, it wants things to be different. You want more wealth. You want better health. You want the love of your life. You want more joy. And at the same time, this part of you that criticizes you, that judges you, that puts you down, that's mean to you in a way that you would never be mean to another being, is saying, nope, I'm good right here. And we've got to look at that, because if we don't, we won't be empowered. So why would that part of us want to stay right where we're at? Because, like we're saying, you may want something totally different, but for you to take that risk means you are risking rejection. So as much as some part of you wants something different, this other part is being like, you know what? Yes, this sucks, but I know how to handle this kind of suckiness. And where my heart's telling me to go could bring a whole new level of suckiness that I don't think I can take. So let's take this in. We are being mean to ourselves, so we avoid experiencing rejection. I'll reject myself first so no one can reject me or an experience can reject me. It's easier because you don't have to challenge you. You can just kind of fall into that same old storyline about yourself. And it allows you to keep things exactly the same, because where your heart's asking you to go entails a risk. And that risk freaks out that emotional part of you. So what do we do instead? This is how you will put an end to being mean to you. So what I mean by this is, every time a critical part comes up, A, it's super powerful that you're aware of it. So like I said, like some of my students come to me and they're like, I'm feeling good. And then we talk about the area that they're challenged with. And then I start to hear the meanness and cruelty and they have no idea. So ideally, and again, the more emotionally sensitive you are, you will hopefully be able to hear the ways that you're being critical to yourself. This is super important, because we're critical to ourselves when there's an opportunity for us to grow. So the ego would not be barking, would not be using its voice unless it was scared. And the ego gets scared when you're ready to outgrow it, right? And so that's what this is about on our spiritual growth, that we're ready to outgrow that ego message. And that ego will keep saying it until we learn to receive and embrace the part of you that the ego is trying to use against you. So let's use myself as an example. I have many examples with this, but let me give you one that continues to come up for me every time I grow. And because I'm super aware of it, it doesn't control me like it wants to, but it can still show up because we're human, right? If we're going through life and we never experience a challenge or a negative emotion, we got to ask ourselves if we're truly living, right? So we want to be taking risks based on our hearts. We want to be growing and evolving and receiving the expansiveness of life. And with that comes challenges. With that comes rejection. With that comes negative feelings. But it's what you are going to do with them. Are you going to take the negative feeling and reiterate the meanness and the cruelty towards yourself, or are you going to understand it for what it is? So my example that my ego likes to use for me is how foolish I can be. Now, again, this is one of many. I've experienced many in my life, but this one can still try to nip at me, that I'm being the fool. So if I were to take the common advice, like, don't be mean to yourself, don't call yourself foolish, just tell yourself you're brave, you're courageous. That is how we consciously try to address what's happening in our subconscious emotional self. So I want to reiterate this, because the whole emotional empowerment movement is a spiritual lens that is also addressing your emotions from an emotional lens. So yes, when I remember, I can be like, oh, I'm not foolish. I'm actually brave and courageous, right? But that's only going to operate when my conscious mind is operating, which science is saying is now 1 to 5% of the time. So what about the 99 to 95% of the time when my subconscious mind is running, right? Then we go to step two, which is to see how the ego controlling me is controlling me with that message, okay? So what is my ego saying to me when my ego calls me foolish? My ego says, you're going to fail. You're going to experience bankruptcy. You're going to ruin your kids' lives, right? So see, every time my ego uses being the fool against me, it's basically because I'm listening to my heart and I'm not doing the rational, logical, normal thing that everyone else does, right? And so my ego is like, get back over here. I don't know what you think you're doing. There's too much risk over there. So if I call you this, being a fool, now I can tell you all the bad things that will happen if you dare listen to your heart and your truth. It doesn't come across that way, right? It's just saying, I feel foolish. I'm about to take this step, or I'm thinking about doing this thing, but I better stay safe over here because if I take a big leap, I could ruin things for my kids. I could take a big investment towards my business or towards myself and bankrupt us, all sorts of things. It's basically, you will fail. So the work is to receive and embrace my fool. You see, the ego wants to use it against us, whatever the thing is, and you want to embrace and receive it. So as I said, my fool is the part of me that's not doing the logical, rational, normal thing. And I have enough evidence from my past that says, you know what? When you did that, things actually work out. In the short term, things get messy sometimes. But in the long term, they work out. Like, you know that time when you were engaged to someone else, Michelle, and everything on paper seemed great, but your heart told you to leave him? Yeah, that felt foolish to my rational brain. My rational brain said, this is everything that you've wanted. He meets the checklist. Why are you leaving? You're being irrational. You're wanting too much. But I ended that engagement, which was messy, canceling the whole wedding and everything that goes along with that, right? Messy in the short term, heartbreak in the short term. In the long term, I've been married now. By the time this releases, I'll have been married now 20 years and happily married, like truly happily partnership, joyful, expansive marriage that would have never happened in that first relationship. I was a fool leaving my traditional psychology path that everyone else was taking. And I'm going off to be a life coach and people have never heard of it at that point when I went off to do that. I was a fool when I was writing my books. My ego told me, no one's going to read these. Who do you think you are? You can't write a book. And my ego came in to say, I'd be foolish to do this podcast. Same type of story. Who's going to listen? Or worse yet, you know, you're foolish to be out there so unapologetically with your spiritual lens. So every time that I'm ready to step into more of my truth, my ego's there to say, that's pretty foolish to do. You'll be seen as a fool. You won't be received. And this is the way my ego tries to fit me back in a box. And our job is to say, you know what? I actually like this part of me that you're trying to put down. I see the gift in it. I see the courage in it. I see and honor the braveness in being willing to operate outside the box. So every step I could see, every step I took towards my truth and created my life that way was because of my fool, not despite it, like my ego was saying. And the truth was, yes, my ego had all these ways to say being the fool will make you fail, but there really wasn't proof of that. The things that failed were meant to fail. So the rational choices, the ones the majority may have taken, was not my path, was not for me. And all of this on a spiritual level is to say, Michelle, Are you going to own more of you? Are you going to live life according to your heart and how you were meant to live it? And it's the same for all of us. So if you have this fool narrative, that's what it's about. And each of these narratives are a way for you to embrace more of you. Now, when I ask some people to do this, they will say to me, Michelle, I can't. There is a part of me that is so awful. And you look back at something that happened in your life and you cannot possibly embrace this part of you. I want you to know I've been there. I want you to know I've worked with people with all sorts of traumas, of behaviors that they're ashamed of. And I've always could see that there is love in there. It's just this part hasn't been fully seen or understood. Now is your time to walk this path of the divine feminine within you, who is calling you to see, love, and embrace these aspects of yourself you've tucked away. These tucked away parts serve a purpose. They just are tucked away because they haven't been received. And your empowered emotions will allow you to receive these shadow parts and love them and see the light in them. Because the problem is when we tuck aspects of ourselves away, part of your life force energy has to keep pushing and tucking and pushing and tucking. And guess what? This takes away from the energy needed for you to fulfill your life's work and purpose, for you to be you. The truth is, these are the exact aspects of you that are needed in the world. Not in their misunderstood form that you're ashamed of, but in the compassionate, wise, and empowered aspect of that part of you. I invite you to take radical responsibility for why you are mean to yourself, and bit by bit, emotion by emotion, embrace the shadow that has been lurking within you and receive this part of you fully from love. The more you do, the less mean you'll be to yourself and the more free, expansive, and power-filled you will feel. And that's what we're here to experience. I'm so grateful you have joined me for this episode. Please share it with others. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes to help us spread the message about how to use your emotions as a tool for spiritual and personal growth. To receive free training and emotional empowerment, visit www.iiee.training. That's www.iiee.training.